We are studying systematic theology and the end times. We are studying the book of Acts from Greek at this time. And we're studying also biblical hermeneutics. All these subjects are very important in the Bible. Whom God hates. Now, the Bible says that God is love. And God is love. But whom God hates, sometimes we don't really understand that God has emotions. Man is created in the image of God in Genesis 1 and 26. It says God made man in his shadow casting image, his spiritual image, and his blood flowing likeness according to the Son, and his sovereign likeness according to the Father. And that sovereign likeness is extremely important, that many people don't understand that man has sovereignty over his own soul. Now, that's a very unusual thing. First of all, we need to understand that God has the emotion of being able to love and to hate, to be angry, to be happy and sad. God has these emotions. God created man in his image, and we have those emotions. You have to realize that every emotion, every feeling, every sensation that we have, God created that for us. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, starting in verse 16, it says, there are 6 things which the Lord hates. Yes, ye 7 which are abomination to him. Haughty eyes and lying tongue. Haughty eyes, in other words, that's pride, and a lying tongue. We all, especially in the times that we live in today, this last week, I'm sure you had somebody call you on the phone, maybe you didn't, maybe you were lucky, and said that you are your bank account has been subdued, and that you are under indictment, and there's an arrest warrant out for you, and to call them to take care of it. That's a lying tongue. And it's fraud. And it's a scam. God hates pride, and he hates a lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood, there are people out today in the gang a society that before you can join a gang, that you have to murder somebody. God hates that. He hates that idea. Animalistic behavior. No better than a coyote or a wolf. The heart devises wicked plans. A heart that devises wicked plans. Wicked plans. Plans that are wicked, twisted, perverted. Feet that run rapidly to go to evil. People that are anxiously to do harm to others. People that are anxious. Feet that run rapidly to evil. That's where you want to go. God gives us a conscience to guide us. And some people sear their conscience in such an inelible way that they don't have any feelings for other people. I have known people that like to hurt animals. I have known people that love to cause pain to others. They enjoy it. They just thrill in causing pain and misery and fear to other people. A false witness who utters lies. A false witness that utters lies. You know, in the state of Nevada, there is no statute of limitations on perjury. It ought to be that way in every state. People that will set people up, people that will set other people up to cause them harm, is evil. One who spreads strife among brothers, people that just like to cause trouble, people that like to cause trouble, people on the phones lying to one another, pet strife among brothers, try to pit mother against daughter, sister against sister, brother against brother, father against mother, mother against son. God hates it. He hates it. God is capable of hating. God is capable of hating. In Luke, the 15th chapter, well, let's go to Romans, the 9th chapter first. Luke, the 15th chapter would be a good place to finish. Romans, the 9th chapter. We're talking about the person of God. We're talking about who God is. We're talking about systematic theology. Who God is. What makes God tick. And these are some verses that we find that tell us a little about the nature of God. Now, in systematic theology, we have taught that God has revealed himself to mankind, first of all, by what? God reveals himself by nature. God reveals himself by his creation. Today in Fish Lake Valley, we look outside and we see the powers of the wind. It's blowing about close to 20 to 30 miles per hour at this time. 20 to 30 miles an hour, and it is about 41 degrees outside, so that makes our wind chill factor from around 35 to 36 degrees. And we see animals out there hiding in the shades of in the wind, but they have fur coats on. We have the lizards out there that are going to go to sleep today. This is the first day of winter that we've had in Fish Lake Valley. And God protects and creates everything for these animals so they can be protected. They either go to sleep and hibernate or they have fur coats on. And they all know how to be mothers. They know how to be mothers. Mothers are very important. The human race could understand a lot about motherly love from looking at a kitten or a hen with her baby chickens or a deer or a wolf and her cubs or a lion and her cubs. Now, let's go to Romans, the 9th chapter. Paul is writing to the church at Rome. He writes some very glorious and hard to understand things and hard to reason things sometimes in his writings. He said, I am telling you the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. Paul is speaking by inspiration. He's telling to the church at Rome, to these individuals there at Rome. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church either, because it didn't exist. That I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For if I wish myself to be accursed, to be anathema, separated for Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers and whom is the Christ according to the flesh and who is over all God blessed forever. Amen. God has plans with mankind. He started back in eternity past where he wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he laid out all the blueprints and the plans of the whole world. And he foreknew all things. Mike up in the state of Washington. W7KOL. He talks to me on the radio some. Donald Grewar in Wales, Nancy in Pennsylvania, Mark in New York, and a myriad of others, Sharon in Tehachapi, Chris and her family. These people all write little notes and they make little comments on the sermons and say, thank you, Dr. Jim, for bringing things down so we can understand it and make it so easy. Some of these deep truths you make so plain so we can understand it. That's my job. That's my God-given calling. Everything else I do is just, you know, for a little pleasure here now and then. The radio, I can communicate with people all over. Donald Grewar in Wales is going to become a ham operator. Maybe one of these days I can talk to him in person. I mean, not in person, but in voice to voice instead of email. It thrills me when I talk to people like that. But now we're coming here to a very misunderstood, a very holy attribute of God, whom God hates. God does hate. I was on the radio 10 or 12 years ago, and there was a guy there that just gave me nothing but grief all the time. And he came on, and I told him, I don't want to talk to you. I have nothing for you at all. I have nothing. You're causing nothing but trouble. You try to mess with me, and you try to make fun of me, and all of this at my expense, and go away. And one of his followers, God loves, you're a man of God, and you're telling me you don't want, God loves everybody. I said, no, God doesn't love everybody, and God doesn't love liars. And as he said there in the book of Proverbs, somebody that sows discord among people. And this man does that. I said, I don't want to have anything to do with him. He's nothing but trouble. And there are people out there that are like that. There are people on the radio, and these are troublemakers, and God hates this. He hates this troublemaker. Art Bell, Coast to Coast Radio, one of my good friends. We talked on the radio a lot of times. He tried to get me to do a radio program. But there are jammers out there that basically ran him off the radio. Wherever he came, they jammed him. Played music on top of him, called him names, did all kinds of stuff. This is what God hates. God hates it. And they will burn for this. God hates that. He hates it. I'm bringing a little radio into this because I'm involved in that since 1960. That's a long time. 60 years that I'm involved in radio. And I see things out there that I hear God haters at times. People that I've had Jewish people get on there in Maryland, you've heard them say, I don't believe in Jesus. I'm a Jew. I don't believe he was ever crucified, etc., etc. And they will relish in blaspheming the name of Jesus. Well, they do that. But radio also gives us an ability to talk to one another. to talk to one another, to experience each other's experiences. And that's what we do. It's been very important in my life. That's how discovertheword.com got started. It was on ham radio and CB radio. They wanted me to record my messages and put them out so other people could hear them. Now there are thousands out there. Paul the Apostle said that he wished he could be accursed and damned forever if he could die and go to hell for all of his brothers. That's what he said. If they would all be saved, I'd do that. We have trouble with people in this world, don't we? People are con artists, they are cheats, they're liars, they're deceivers. And sometimes people use us and just laugh behind our back. That happens every day. Sometimes it's our own family, sometimes it's strangers. Now let's come down to God's person now. Let's look at God's person. We know that he hates lying. He knows that he hates deceit. He knows that he hates sowing discord among the brethren. Doesn't he? He hates that. And we should hate that too. If we love God, then we should hate those things also. Paul writes here in verse number 6, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for there are not all Israel who are descended from Israel." I am a literal descendant from Abraham. Nationally or genetically, I am number one American Indian. Number two, I am Arabian. Where that came in, it must have been on my father's side. I don't know. But I am probably 1/8 Arabian, possibly. I am 88.6% Native American, according to DNA. I am 1/32 Scots. I'm a tiny bit French and a tiny bit English and a tiny bit German. I mean a tiny bit, 1/224 or something. But there's Arabian blood that came in there, and when I saw that in my DNA, it just blew me away. At first thing I thought, I am one of Abraham's descendants. Jumping up and down. Well, I mean, I'm really one of Abraham's descendants, really. But what makes me happier than all of that is that I am a child of God and a real spiritual seed of Abraham. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. I am a child of the Old Testament. The Old Testament promises and the prophecies that Christ should come. Neither are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants, but through Isaac your descendants will be named. See now, I'm not really a descendant of Isaac. I'm descendant of the rejected son, Ishmael and Esau. But unlike Ishmael and Esau, I believe. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise as regarded as descendants. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but there is Rebekah also, when she conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. For though the twins were not yet born, had not done anything good nor bad, in order that God's purpose, according to his order and God's choice, might stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, him who elects. We have to understand that God knows these children, what they would do in their lives before they were ever born. We are not able to look through the end of our lives and how that our lives shall end. Because our lives shall end at any moment, but we may live many years. In April this year, the doctors gave me no hope that I would have a wife that would survive the hospital visit. But God gave her to me a little bit longer, and I am thankful. Marilyn is better now than she was a year ago. She's lost 45 pounds because of her tenacious self-control now. And it has made her life tremendously better. She's not eating the foods that would harm her any longer. I used to say, you shouldn't be eating that. She said, mind your own business. I know what I want. But now she agrees, don't you, Marilyn? The doctors all told her, the only reason why you're alive is your husband do what he tells you. Is that right, Marilyn?
Yeah.
That's what they said. Do what he tells you. He's kept you alive. He didn't give up on you. We gave up, but he didn't give up. God doesn't give up on us either. Even though sometimes maybe he should. But his love, he loves us because we're his. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, and just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Marilyn had a twin sister. Didn't you, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. And you loved that twin sister.
Yes.
You loved her very much. You spent all of your lives together. All of your lives together. Now these two here would not be bound by love so much because Esau hated Jacob. And I know that people have said in the past that Jacob was a mama's boy and that he was a sissy. Jacob was not a sissy. He may have been a mother's boy, but he was not a sissy. That man was powerful. He was the breadwinner of his family. He was the one that went out and shepherded the animals and cowboyed the cows. He is the one that protected them from the wolves and the lions and the bear, as David did. Before David did. He was the one man that went around and there was great stone that several men, it took several men to move this stone, and he moved it by himself because he was a powerful man. If you read the book of Jasher, a historical novel from that time, we'll find out even when Jacob was old and his sons, Simeon and Levi, started the Canaanite wars, that Jacob went out with his bow and fought with his son, and he was still a powerful man then. Jacob was powerful. And Jacob loved God. And God loved Jacob. God loved Jacob because he knew what he would be. And God hated Esau because he knew what he would be. Just as it is written in Malachi 1 and verse 2. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May it never be. Not injustice with God. It said, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. God loves and God hates. God is angry and God is happy. And God smiles and God frowns. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, the scripture says to Pharaoh, the man in the big house, that's what Pharaoh means. For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. God used Pharaoh because of who he was. God used Judas Iscariot because of who he was. And God protected Pharaoh to get him to this point where God could use him to illustrate, because God knew what Pharaoh would do. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. The same sun that softens wax hardens the clay. Yeah. Pharaoh hardened his own heart a few times, and then God hardened its heart. Pharaoh initiated by hardening his own heart, and God finally did the job. Whom will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me thus? Will it? Isaiah 29:16, and Isaiah 49 and verse 45 and verse 9. In the Old Testament, Paul quotes that Old Testament scriptures. Or does it not the potter have the right to the clay to make from the same lump one vessel of honor and another for common use? One vessel is to be painted and decorated and glazed and beautified, and the other is a common vessel to wash dishes in. In our kitchen here, Marilyn's great-grandmother had a bowl. And I could go in there and show this bowl to you. Now, Marilyn, that's a long time ago. That bowl probably goes back to 1820 or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. Probably 1820. The bowl's got a little crack in it here and there. But it was used for a mixing bowl, and probably they would mix bread in it and stick it in a warming oven or something and let the bread rise. And how many loaves of bread and how many biscuits that old bowl has made in it that raised her grandmother and her mother, no one knows. I have a wrecking pan. If you don't know what a wrecking pan, this wrecking pan is a great big aluminum pan that was handed down from generation to generation in Marilyn's family again. A wrecking pan is where you throw all the dishes and you wash the dishes in it. And then you throw the water out. I'm looking at that wrecking pan right now. I see it. I'm looking at the bowl from the kitchen where I stand right now. Yes, God uses different people. God used Hitler to work the Jews over because they needed working over. They deserved it. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And God said, fine. That's what you want. That's what you get. And they got it. They got it all down to the Dark Ages. They got it ever since the cross of Calvary, even to this day. And they whine and cry and bawl, the crying Jew. Woe is me, woe is me. Why is woe is you? Because of what you have done. God hates what you have done. The whole purpose of the tribulation period, way over here in time, is to bring Israel back to God. So they will repent. And God says at least one third of them will. Because of grace and mercy, there's going to be two thirds of them going to get killed. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, his wrath means anger, his hate, endured with much more patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, 1 Peter 2 and 5, Peter also names the same thing. And he did also in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy. I thank God. I've had some miserable relationships in my life. But I thank God for my wife Marilyn. And I know that she thanks God for me. She was abused all of her life, and I had been too. And finally, we find somebody that we love each other. It is so wonderful to be loved. And because we have the ability to love, I mean, you can love somebody that hates you, and you can love them all your life, and they still hate you. You can't do anything about that. But when you have mutual love between two people, it is a gift of God. And so we can understand how God loves. We can look at each other and love each other. And we can do like Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it? Love covers a multitude of sins when you love. Sometimes we have to have tough love. We love children. They make mistakes, and sometimes you have to love them with tough love. They have to be corrected. But you love them. Sometimes a wife and a husband have times of controversy. They do. And you have to love them through that controversy. And the Bible says that a man should correct his wife, and I'm not talking about beating wives like Islam says. Beat them with a rod or a whip or a belt or whatever you want to use. You just can't break them up too bad. You know, don't use a real hard board to beat them with. Or two before an axe or a battle bat. They do that in Islam. That's Sharia law. But the Bible does say that a man should correct his wife and set her straight and pattern, because God has put man over the woman. And sometimes a woman must correct her husband's thinking. And how does a woman do that? Not by beating up the husband, but by a good example of loving him through it all. I have several great examples of love of women that I've known in my life. That loved her husband so much. One of them was Phyllis Owens, which was my dad's niece, Buck Owens' wife. Buck was very famous. And he had a lot of women chasing after him all the time. And Phyllis knew that. And she said, I love him so much, I don't care who he's with today, as long as he comes home with me tonight or tomorrow. I love him. That was sacrificial love. I looked at that. And I saw that woman, when they broke up, when Buck finally left her, when they broke up, it destroyed her. It took her years to even get her head out from the ground. Years. God had given Buck a beautiful woman to love him. And as Buck said many times, he said, I love women too much. Too many women too much. That's my fault. That's what he said. He said, I believe in marriage, and I believe in God-given marriage and all of these things, but he said, I fail in that point. The last time I saw Buck, he said, Jimmy, come here. I want you to see my girlfriend, meet my girlfriend. She was a young, beautiful girl. And he said to me, Jimmy, how long have I known you? And I said, before Johnny Dale was born. That's his last son, named after my dad, Dale. She said, see, I can remember that. Yeah. And I said hello to Johnny Dale. The last night I was driving our Packard car around, and I was on Rosedale Highway when I heard Buck sing the last time, and he was having real trouble. And I told Marilyn, I said, we need to go see Buck pretty soon, because I said he's failing. That was the night that Buck died. I never got to see him again. Love covers a multitude of sins. I know one thing. all that happened between Buck and Phyllis, I knew Buck still loved Phyllis. And I know Phyllis loved Buck. And I know that Buck loved Bonnie Owens, even though water had passed under the bridge and the two boys that they had together. We love each other through our sins and our shortcomings. What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath, to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and did not in order that He might make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy, and He prepared beforehand for glory? Even us, whom He had called, not from among Jews only, but from also among the Gentiles, the dogs, the riffraff. I came from a family of a lot of drunk Indians. If you read Shadow of an Ending Star, Winona's story, he made it safe to murder. The outlaw statesman, Frederick Tecumseh Waite, Willie of the Valley, any of those books, you'll read about my Chickasaw heritage, which sometimes is very violent. Talk about Samuel Eichard Paul, my great-great-grandfather. He went through misery in life. He killed a lot of men in life. He was a real Rooster Cogburn character. But in the end of his life, he was put in prison by Isaac Parker for killing a white outlaw. The man was an outlaw. He was put in prison in Detroit House of Corrections. And even though he was very powerful, he was nothing but just a dirt red Indian to them. Trash. A redskin. And there he learned something. There he had an awakening in his life. He had an awakening between him and God. And he went out to try to rescue his people. He tried to circumvent the Dawes Act. He tried to make amends of what he'd done in his life. Him and Isaac Parker met one time, and he said, "Well, Judge Parker, what do you think about me now? You tried to convict me and hang me five times." He said, "Well," he said, "I have to think again about my what we call reformation." He said, "I didn't think somebody as bad as you could be reformed," but he said, "You know what? You did it." He said, "I'm 100% behind you, Sam Paul." Sam had gone out and he tried to do his best. He was preaching in churches, preaching the love of God and that we ought to love each other and that we ought to love our families and to succeed as a national people, as the Chickasaw Nation. He preached to the Cherokees, the Choctaws, the Osage. He preached to all of them in their own languages. He knew 17 languages. And could speak all the Indian dialects as if he was one of them. He tried his best to turn them around from the drunkenness and the excesses that he had lived in his life. One thing they said about St. Paul, he had no such thing as fear in his bones, in his soul. He preached with bullets flying at him. That's history. My great-grandmother, my grandmother and my great-grandmother raised me. She used to say, she says, when her daddy was preaching, there was cigar smoke and pipe smoke and gun smoke mixed. One time he went to the Chickasaw Senate with rifle in hand. And all these bullets all these rifles were pointing at him, and he stood up and he preached. And he spoke. He went out among the enemy's camp. And he preached to them and he asked them to please devote your minds to reason. Think. We got to face a government that is dead set on destroying us and erasing us as a people. We have to make a stand, even if we have to change what we believe. We have to make a stand to survive. He died because of that. He was killed. December 19th, 1891. And he was looked upon as a traitor at the time, but now he's a hero in the Chickasaw Hall of Fame because now they know what he tried to do. The Jews looked down upon Jesus today that he was nothing but an illegitimate child, a blue-eyed and blonde-haired Jew that wasn't really only half Jew is all. They say he had to have a Roman soldier for a father. You know, his mother was a floozy. This is what they say historically. He did have blue eyes and blonde hair, by the way. Just read some of the historical accounts. He wasn't like the rest of those Jews. Read Pilate's report. Read some of the Jewish anti-Jesus reports in history. The Jews one day will believe when they're pinned down against the wall and God uses the Antichrist and the Islam and all of the opposing forces against those people, he allows it, his permissive will, they will scream and holler for salvation. That's the only reason, because of the Davidic promise and the Abrahamic promise that the Jews will even exist because of the mercy of God. He says in Hosea, I will call those who were not my people, my people. And her who was not beloved, beloved. And it shall be that in that place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they shall be called the sons of the living God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, it is only the remnant that shall be saved. Only the remnant, because the remnant will believe. The unbelievers will be erased. God hates. He hates unbelief. God hates pride. God hates. If you want to look at the Jewish race today that are in control of a lot of the media, by the way, and production in Hollywood, if you want to look at that race today, you will see a proud people. A very proud people. Proud of their suffering. Relishing in their tears. But their tears were caused because of the rejection of the Messiah, God of Israel. The Messiah King that they rejected. And for the Lord will execute his word upon the earth thoroughly and quickly, cutting it shortly, and just as Isaiah foretold, except the Lord of the Sabaoth, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord Almighty, the Lord, what we might call the Lord of armies, the Lord of the powers of all the angelic forces, had let us to posterity, we would have become as Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah. What shall we say then? The Gentiles who do not pursue the righteousness attain righteousness, even though the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing the law, righteousness did not attain that law. They used it as a tool. To Israel, God is a national treasure, a good luck charm. Israel pursuing the law of righteousness did not arrive at that law. And why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. Go back to Luke now. Let's look at some things about the mercy of God. Even though God hates, and God's hell is a place of God's hate. Hades is a place of God's hate today. Now all the tax gatherers and sinners were coming near him to listen to him, and both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Love covers a multitude of sins. And he told them this parable: "What man among you who has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he had found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." This is God he's talking about. He's talking about God rejoicing and loving and smiling. "And when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 righteous persons who do not repent." And joy where? In heaven? Where is this joy? In the heart of God. "Or that woman who has 10 silver coins and loses one coin and does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together all her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, I found the coin which I had lost.' And in the same way, I tell you, it's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." It's joy in the angels, in the presence of the angel of God, because God has that joy. Talk about a man who had two sons, and one of them went off. And the one son asked him for inheritance now so he could waste it. You know, many of you out there have children just waiting for you to die so they can run and grab everything that's left over. Then this boy was like that. This boy was not worthy of the love of his father at all. But the father loved him. It's like us. When you're saved, God wants you to be sanctified. He wants you to follow in his footsteps, not in the footsteps of the world. God hates. Whom God hates? You go back to the book of Proverbs and you find out who God hates. Haughty eyes, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies and who spreads strife among the brothers. God hates that. And we ought to hate it because we're children of God. We preach the Word of God to save sinners. We preach it. We preach the Word of God to save sinners, of which we are. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. I did my best to show your love and your hate. And I tried my best to show those out there in a simple form why you hate some and you love others. We know that hell is a receptacle for all of those that you hate forever. And Hades is now. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the love that you showered upon us. And thank you that you have chosen us to be vessels of honor and vessels to spread your word, and help us to glorify you with our lives and always think of you and rather than what we want, but what you want of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.